This is the day of the Lord. Let us rejoice and be glad. Absolutely. Thank you for finishing that sentence on me. We're tracking pretty good. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day of the Lord. This is the same thing that we have written right when you first come in these church doors on the wall, and it's the first thing that you see on the way out. This is the day the Lord has made. Today is the day of the Lord. Now, sometimes it doesn't always feel like it. Sometimes we hear and read, even in our scripture lessons, about another day of the Lord. Sometimes a little bit more spooky. We heard from our fantastic reader about the Old Testament prophet Amos, like Amos and Andrew, or famous Amos, the chocolate chip company. Or we heard from the epistle lesson from St. Paul writing to this church in Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians, about the coming day of the Lord. Ooh, the day of the Lord. We hear about it a lot in the Old Testament especially. So what exactly, when we hear about these Old Testament prophets about judgment or the New Testament epistles or letters talking about the coming day of the Lord, what does that really mean? What is the day of the Lord? Ever wondered that? Or maybe that's something a brand new thought. Any ideas? Go ahead and raise your hand. What's the day of the Lord?
Sunday.
That's a good answer.
Judgment Day.
Judgment Day. Whoa, now we're getting somewhere. The day of the Lord is Judgment Day. Any other answers? One in back.
Every day.
These are some pretty fantastic answers. Well, I think we kind of have to look at all of them. I think they're all right answers. So let's first attack the big scary one first. Judgment Day. Today we're hearing about that because now, even though we're in November, these are the last few weeks of what we call the church year. Even though we tend to think of December being the end of the church year is ending in the next 2 weeks. And then we start what we call Advent, the coming of Jesus, and we get into Christmas. So right now, we're in the smack dab thick of the end of the church year. And when we do the end of the church year, we think about the end of the world, the end of our church life until we have a new life. So when we start talking about really some scary stuff, the end of the world, the judgment day, the day of the Lord, we start hearing about these Old Testament prophets, about judgment. We hear some stories like the parable of the 10 virgins about being prepared for God to come back, like a young woman is prepared before her wedding day. So what does that all mean? What does that have to do with us right now? Is it just another way to feel gloomy when it's cloudy and cold out? No. The day of the Lord, for the Old Testament prophets, it was for them to announce, to be ready, to expect something that you might not be ready for. The day of the Lord would be judgment to Aryan nations that would not listen or obey to the true God. You'd have countless Old Testament kings that would lead God's people astray by crazy styles of worship, building and erecting statues and idols and weird stuff that diverted God's people attention from them. So you have these Old Testament prophets speaking in judgmental ways, leading God's people back because the day is coming that God would set things straight. In that second reading, we hear about another form of the day of the Lord. Judgment Day, that final day when God's coming back. What does that mean? When is God coming back? When is he coming back? Soon. Do you actually believe that? Do I believe that? God's coming back soon. The God that we worship every Sunday is not just dead and gone. He's alive and well, and he's planning on coming back. What does that mean? How does that change the way we do our daily living? Does it change the way we do our daily living? The day of the Lord is coming. Now, there's another way of thinking about it. Did the day of the Lord already happen? Maybe did we miss it? We were raptured and then all the good people went away and we're still here? I don't think so. But we know that God did come 2,000 years ago. The day of the Lord did happen when God reached down and was born in a manger. The day of the Lord was then when God came a first time to set things right. You could also say the day of the Lord was 30-some years after that, when it looked pretty gloomy then. Skies were dark, earth quaked, and a man hung and died on a cross. It was the day of the Lord. And we can rejoice and be glad of what happened that day. But what about now? When we 2017 are hearing about these words of judgment coming, disaster maybe, the end of the world. What's it all about? Why does it matter now? Why would we listen about this parable of the 10 virgins, for example? Well, one, it's a subtle reminder to, yes, be informed. God is alive and well, and God is active in your life, believe it or not. Active amidst the disasters and catastrophes that we hear in the news every single day. God is not gone, God is not absent, and God is not uncaring. He is the opposite. He is utterly concerned. And so, not just to be informed, but to be prepared. So how do we do that? Do you feel prepared? If God came right now, the world ended right now, would you be glad? Would you be satisfied? Would you feel like it is enough? I hear maybe some gears turning. I hear some, maybe see some faces, yes. Maybe some that are unsure. Well, believe it or not, yes, you are ready. Now you're awake, you are ready. And if God did come back, every single one of you that I see, and myself included, can be glad and can rejoice. Because you are ready. You are prepared. God has come. God has already prepared you. Now, we might mess up in this day of our Lord today here in 2017 on November 12th. We might mess up tomorrow. But God has prepared in you something that will prepare you for that last day of the Lord, the coming judgment. You have no worry. You have no fear to say that you've done enough or not enough. Because God has done enough. Jesus has done enough for you. On that day of the Lord, Good Friday, on Easter Sunday, God has done enough for you. So it's not about having enough oil in your flask, about staying up past midnight awaiting for the bridegroom to enter. You are already in the party. You are already invited. You are seated at the place of honor, at the wedding feast. And as soon as God decides to come back, all you have to do is sit back and enjoy the show. Right now, by means of your baptism, you have been granted faith. Right now, by means of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you have all the preparation you need. And that's something that we get to say, that today is the day of the Lord. Right now, you are ready. Don't let your mind tell you otherwise. Don't let the world tell you otherwise. This is the day the Lord has made. What did you say earlier? This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Go on, Mark. You can do better than that. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Why should you be glad? Why should you rejoice? Tell me. Because you're forgiven. Because you're loved. You're ready. You are God's people now. You have a light shining in you. You have a Spirit of God dwelling within you. You are God's people now. You are the people that God has promised to be for. And as soon as that final day comes, He will open the door and say, "Let's party." He will say, "I have done the work for you. Enjoy the feast that I've made for you. It's an unending, eternal feast. And you can be glad. And it will last forever. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it."
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.